Hey, good morning. This is Peter John, and yeah, can you believe it? With the weather so beautiful as today, yesterday, again, predicted for tomorrow, there's no way we have 6 more weeks of cold, bitter winter, as Mr. Groundhog has told us. No way. I'm not believing it for a second. Hey, this is Peter John. Welcome to Rogue Grace. I hope if you're a lady, not necessarily a dude, but I hope if you were a lady last night, you were able to go to the gathering, the congregation, the church, and the sanctuary, as the women of our church gathered for a time of worship and scripture and fellowship. And I heard it was just a wonderful, deep, beautiful, enlightening time indeed. That's cool. Yeah, that's every first Tuesday of the month for our church, for the women of our church. So come on out next first Tuesday if you didn't make this last one. You're gonna truly be blessed. My mom shared, my sister Mary, my beautiful wife Amanda, they all shared a little bit, but there's things that they were able to allow people to also fellowship and have a good interaction and conversation about God, His Word, His truth. Cool stuff. Well, here on Rogue Grace, this is Friday. We made it. You did. You made it to the beautiful weekend. I get to talk from the book of 1 Peter. That's what we've been doing. Now, what has, yet again this morning, wonderfully caught me off guard in a great way is the emphasis from Peter, this apostle, all around the year 62 AD, something like that. So he's a 60-year-old man or around there. But how often he talks about grace, which is appropriate, being that this program is called Rogue Grace. Well, he has much to say about the grace of God, where God chooses to bless us beyond our own merit, to save us beyond our own work. Thanks to God for His grace through Jesus Christ. Well, Peter has a lot to say about that subject. 8 times he uses that word grace. I love it. Yes, so do you. What's wonderful to me, what's right now appearing enlightening to me, is that he uses this word grace in a book, in a letter written to a people that were, from our perspective, doing anything but, quote, prospering. That is, I mean, when we talk about your best life now, or finances, health, and wealth, relationships, and all of those things, I believe God does have grace for us through faith. He answers our prayers. He meets our needs. There's no doubt. If God gave His own Son, how much will He give us every good thing, Peter? Pardon me. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. So there is something to be said about that. But here in 1 Peter, how often he uses the word grace, but he's talking to, his theme is to a group of Christians, by the way, writing to a group of believers in what we call Turkey today, about the suffering they're going through. And God has grace for them. So as we've mentioned, I think 1 or 2 times at least, when you look at 1 Peter, it gives us, me at least, a whole kind of new context to this idea, this truth, this doctrine of grace other than or along with favor? Yes, it's that. But how about the idea when you're going through it, when it seems like there's not favor in your day? How about that there's grace for you then and there? Another way maybe to describe it or to identify it would be the word help. Grace to help us in our time of need. That is how I see grace from Peter's perspective in the scriptures. Now, he uses this word grace 6 times, including in our text, 1 Peter chapter 2. Our text this morning, 1, 2, and 3 verses, the first 3 verses. The 3rd verse reads, "If so," Peter the apostle writes, "you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." There it is. If so, you know, you have tasted, you have experienced the grace of God. If so, what? That's the question. That's what puts this grace in a good, maybe a bit of a different, even for some of us, context. The 2 verses before that. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice," Peter writes, "all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." So here Peter writes, put away these things. Instead, embrace, continue to digest, to devour, to consume the word of God. Then verse 3, he uses that scripture of grace. You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So again, I'm looking at the context of grace through Peter's eyes here. That the grace of God then allows me, you, to do what he says, what Peter writes. To lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. And then how do I gain this kind of grace that allows me to do so? As newborn babe. Through the sincere milk of the word of God. Then he writes, that the Lord is gracious. So let's look at these things that the grace of God allows us to see manifest in our lives. Knowing that we're not judged, that God will not condemn. We are forgiven and righteous, and the basis of our salvation and our daily blessing comes by faith. And that faith, one way it can be exercised and it can be manifested, is through prayer. Having said that, though, Peter says, because you know that you've been saved by that, he says, laying aside these things. That is a great term he uses. It's kind of just as it sounds, but it's very specific. It means taking off clothing. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, he's not giving that kind of graphic scene here with his word or his vocabulary. It means it's unfashionable. It's no longer in style. Take that off. That's what used to be cool back in 1994. So if I'm going to walk out of my room at home to go to church with my flannel tied around my waist, let's say, got my Docs. Oh, they're in style again, but you know what I'm saying. I guess maybe. My baggy jeans, but they tighten at the ankles. So 1994. My kids would say, "Dad, take that off. Go change. That's unfashionable." That's what Peter, pardon me, is saying right here. Those things that used to be cool no longer are. By the grace of God, I'm reminded of that this morning then. To talk like I used to. How is that? He describes it here. Malice. Take off the malice, he says. Malice is an old King James term. It means an unforgiving spirit. Don't have that chip on your shoulder. Let it go. Drop it. Drop it. Don't hold an account on someone else. Don't have malice. Then he says, guile. What's that? Another way of describing or speaking of false flattery. So take off malice, an unforgiving or bitter spirit. Take off guile, which is false flattery. I must say, we might preface it, building somebody's ego for our own gain, using that as a means to an end. Finally, he says, put off evil speaking, gossiping. I think maybe, I wonder if you might agree, gossipers are those, whether it's you, me, or someone else, gossipers are those who talk about other people's lives who are more exciting than their own. I think there's truth to that. If you're talking about other people's lives, it's maybe because you think your own. Maybe it's because yours is boring. Think on that. We'll be right back.
But I will remember.
So in 1 Peter chapter 2, because he says, verse 3, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's what he says. If you have tasted, the first two verses before that, laying aside all malice. We talked about that last segment. Laying aside, literally take off that. It's unfashionable. It's not in style anymore like it used to be. Take off malice, an unforgiving spirit, a chip on your shoulder, a debt other people owe you. Take off guile, that's false flattery. Take off evil speaking, that's gossip, which we mentioned may be a result of people, their lives are more interesting than yours. So, because of the grace of God, Peter is telling me, reminding you, the responsibility of laying these things aside. He says that, laying them aside. It's my responsibility. So I'm praying, O Lord, that you lift these things from us today. That me and those who are listening on KAPO might have the ability to lay these things aside. Malice, guile, evil speaking, bitterness, false flattery, and gossip. So, thank you, Lord. The question we ask ourselves then is, maybe sometimes we avoid this question, how much further would we have been in life if we had avoided these things? Hence, the grace of God, see? The grace of God can be manifest in my life, not because I've earned it. It just paves the way. It clears the ground. It allows his grace to show in my life so that there's not gossiping, so that there's not unforgiveness, and there's not false flattery, words that don't mean anything. I wonder how much better I would be, you too, if we had chosen, and if today we do choose to exercise these things because of the grace of God. Then he says, how do we do this? Verse 2, the next verse, as newborn babes desiring the word of God. You know what that means? I'm still supposed to desire the simple, nourishing milk. See, there's what Hebrews calls the meat of God's word. That's what you chew on. It takes a while to digest. It's good. It causes you to grow. It strengthens you. But Peter here, in contrast, refers to the Bible as the milk of the word. Which reminds me, it's the simple things. The things I've known since I was 4. The things that I tell my kids at family devotions, the things that I still need to hear about Jesus, about his resurrection, about the Father, about the Holy Spirit. I need the milk as well as the meat. Which means then, me, you, we are never weaned from the Word of God. You're never weaned where you say, I grew up. I don't need that anymore. That was for 20 years ago. It's still for you, me, today, as much as it was then. We might feel the need. We may wean ourselves from things, ministries, maybe, other people or personalities, but not the Word of God. We always are to desire it. Like a baby, Peter writes, which reminds me, maybe you too, the one who talks about and teaches the Bible is never a scholar, but always a student. I'm never a scholar. I've never arrived. I'm always still growing. Again, the one who teaches the Bible is never a scholar, always a student. So desire that milk in the Gospels, in the book of Judges, in the book of 1 Peter. You don't have to come up with, me neither, new explanations and conclusions and theological insights. You don't have to come up with something profound. Let it just nourish you. I think, though, about a baby who needs to be nourished. If it's too hungry, it's hard to feed that baby, isn't it, moms? You who know this from experience, which I don't. In terms of breastfeeding or a bottle, I do know that. The baby gets too panicky, and you're trying to feed the baby. In my case, put the bottle in the baby's mouth. You just need to calm the baby down. It's too hysterical. And same with Christians, maybe. I'm feeling hysterical or anxious or depressed, maybe. And God is saying, why don't you just take the milk of my word to soothe your soul and renew your thinking? We'll go to doctors or friends, even pastors, when God's saying, come to me through your word. Even if you don't think it's the meat, even if you're not expositing or exegeting the doctrine, that's fine. Just take in the milk. Jesus says, I would have gathered you unto myself, he said to the city of Jerusalem, but you would not come, as he wept over them. He says, I'm full. I want to feed you. He says, I'm full to the city of Jerusalem. I ache. But like a mother hen gathering her chicks, I want to feed you, but you wouldn't come. Jesus is saying the same to us. He's saying, I have grace for you. Let me feed you, nourish you, and give you a sense of peace through the milk of the word of God.
I flirt with the world, it steals my love for you. My fear grips my faith, and I am left unmoved. Your gaze stops my heart, your voice fills the dark. Your love is the spark.
Father, you see.
And on this beautiful Friday, mid-morning, here is a psalm for you in conclusion of today's broadcast. Psalm 104. Believer, dear Christian, listen, meditate, and be built in your faith by these words. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covered thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the cloud his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. That's Psalm 104, verse 1 to verse 5. Isn't the Lord our God great and worthy to be praised? He, as you'll agree, is omnipotent. Nothing is too hard for our God, and he is gracious enough to save us from our sin by giving us his only begotten Son. Let that make your day that much more brighter. See you on Sunday. God bless.